Good morning again. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be really busy but not always feel useful? And no, I'm not talking about Ravens fans. No, I am. I don't even watch football. I just like picking on people. I'm the guy at the party that's always rooting for the team that most people aren't, just to bust everyone's chops. But I think we all know what it's like to have completely full schedules, to be very busy, to have our weeks packed, to church, we're attending it faithfully. We've got all these things going on, and yet there's still this quiet question underneath all of it. Am I actually doing what God created me to do? Am I fulfilling my purpose? I don't know if you've ever sat and had that thought or had that doubt in your heart of, man, I'm really busy. I'm doing all this stuff, but does it really matter? Is all the stuff I'm doing, is all the schedules and the running and everything, what is it accomplishing? Is my life pleasing to God? Am I doing what He created me to do? Most of us, we don't struggle with a lack of information. That's not the problem. It's not, well, you just need to learn more. You need to attend more classes. You need to take more training. That's not the case for many of us. Now, you can spend the rest of your life growing in information about God's Word, and that's great, and we should do that. But the problem of where we currently are usually doesn't have to do with our lack of information. What some of us lack is direction. We know what the church is supposed to do. We know what the Bible says about serving. We know what ministry looks like on paper. But knowing and living aren't the same thing. That's why this series hasn't been about giving more information, more for you to learn. It's been about helping us see where we fit into God's plan, where we fit into what God is doing, both inside these walls and in our community and across the world. See, when we talk about serving, when we talk about being equipped, we're not just talking about serving here in this building. Some of you are called to serve here. I would guess many of you are called to serve in some capacity because you're part of this family. But for some of us, the calling isn't here. The calling is elsewhere. Some, God may be even beginning to speak to you about going to another culture and serving another culture, somewhere not even in our current location, physical location. But there's a difference between being present and being placed. Think about a tool sitting in a toolbox. Hopefully it's well made. There was intentionality to when and how it was crafted. It's valuable. You have to buy most tools, and it has a purpose. Many tools have a very specific purpose. If you're a professional in some field, you probably have tools that are used for only one thing, and they do that one thing really, really well, but they have every tool was designed for a specific purpose. But if it never leaves the toolbox, it never actually does what it was created to do. Essentially, the tool becomes useless because it's not being used for what it was intended to be used for. I saw a story just recently of a lady who had one of those big old Crocs on her front porch, and she had gone to an auction house to see if it was worth anything and say, like, hey, she was really hoping to get like $100 for it. And the guy, thankfully, was a man of integrity and told her, like, I'm pretty sure I can get $100 for it. Now, he knew its worth, but he didn't tell her. And so he took it to auction, and he auctioned it off, and he was able to tell her when she came back, hey, you didn't just get your $100. We got a little bit more than that. I got you $26,000. Because it was some like weird double-stamped Croc, and it was very, very valuable. And he was very excited to do that. But that Croc sat on her porch completely useless, not knowing its value for so long. And then she finally discovered that was actually very, very valuable. Some of us have gifts that have been sitting on a porch for a very long time, and they haven't become useful because we've not learned or we've not stepped into and we've not given God that yes to be used and see just how valuable the gift that He has given us has been. What if many believers were fully equipped but functionally unused. Over the past several weeks, we've talked about God equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. That's been a big part of what we're talking about is there's no version of church in the New Testament that talks about, well, all you got to do is get a bunch of people together, get a really nice building, hire some staff, and then you just have to show up. That's all that you need to do. That's the Christian life now. There's no version of that, I promise you. You can read it a couple times over if you need to, but that's never what God intended for the church to be. That we would just show up, that we would just spectate, that we would just consume. The church was always meant to be about the saints doing the work of the ministry. And it tells us that, yes, God has equipped certain people, the apostles, the prophet, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We've talked about how every believer has been gifted by the Spirit. There's no believer, if you know Jesus, there's no such thing as a believer who has no gifts, that has no call, that has no purpose. We've talked about moving from spectators to participants, from consuming to contributing, from sitting to serving. And today we're not introducing something new. I don't have a new, brand new. I don't know. I watched like a bunch of different pastors, you know, preachers and stuff. And the ones I know, one of my few pet peeves is the guys who they seem like they can't talk without presenting like some new, like amazing thing they discovered in the Bible. It's like, just preach the word. You know, it's enough. Just preach the word and help people understand how to use that word. I'm not bringing you any new revelation from God's word, just what's clearly in there that any of us, when we read through it, can pick up on. Because equipping without connection leads to isolation. These are some of the things we'll talk about. Connection without unity leads to frustration. But when God's people are equipped, connected, and united, and the church becomes powerful. There are many churches that are reaching their communities, that are winning large groups of their community. They're changing the entire atmosphere of their communities. They're changing the atmospheres of places across the oceans from where they're located. And these are not the churches with the best preachers. They're not the churches with the best worship team or the most comfortable seats. They're the ones where Now, maybe not every, but many of the people in their church have decided, I'm going to accept responsibility for the work of the ministry. We're going to do this together. And they begin to get engaged in the work of ministry together, to share the burden and to use whatever God's gifted them in for the kingdom of God. Here's the promise I want us to hear right from the start. By the end of today, I hope this won't feel like just the end of a sermon series. It'll feel like the beginning of obedience for some of us, or continued obedience for some. Because God never equips his people just to inform them. He equips them to send them. So today isn't about applauding what we've learned. It's not about patting ourselves on the back of like, man, I've read the scripture so much. I know exactly what Christians are supposed to do, so I can point the finger at everybody in this room that's not doing what they should do. That's not the point here. It's about responding to what God has been preparing us for. And by the end, we're going to be given an opportunity not just to listen to a sermon, but to step forward, to be prayed over, and to be commissioned into the work that God has already prepared for us. The danger for us today isn't that we haven't been equipped. There's nobody here, if you know Jesus, that is under-equipped for what God has called you to do. Why? Because you have the power of the living God within you. And Acts 1:8 tells us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I promise you, there's nothing God's gonna call you to do that you cannot be effective in because you didn't take a class, because you didn't attend the training, because you didn't sit through the seminar. Those things are great and they're helpful and we should do those things. But when God calls you to do something, what he wants from you is yes. Not your strategy and your plan to finally get there someday that you might be willing to say yes. If he's calling you now, then he's saying, you're right where I need you to say yes. I can use you right where you are with what you currently have. And if I want you to have anything else, I'll lead you through that process. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have been equipped. And that's not the problem, that we've not been equipped. It's that some of us have forgotten why we're equipped. Paul doesn't say God gave leaders so the church could be impressed by them. That's not the point of leadership. It's not so that I can preach really fancy sermons that everybody can say, hey, to your coworkers, like, hey, come listen to this guy. He's like really dynamic and he can speak really well. Like, that's not the goal of church. That's where some churches have gone. They get the really good looking pastors that are really good speakers and they can really wow a crowd, and they get worship teams that can get everybody hyped up and play off everybody's emotions. And man, it just is this great party where it's a whole lot of fun and not a whole lot of growth, not a whole lot of challenge. I'm going to say some things that you don't like from time to time. I know, shocker. It's not my goal to make everybody happy, to make everybody feel good. It's my job to take the word of God and say, this is what God said. And at times, and this is what I think we should do with it. Church sometimes should be challenging. When we leave, there should be some questions in our heart and our soul at times. We should have to wrestle through some things sometimes during the week from what we heard. But it should also be a time where we gather together and we celebrate what God has been doing through our week as we use the gifts God has given us and as we've engaged our neighbors and our coworkers and our community. We get to get together on a Sunday morning. We get to rally together and say, man, isn't God so good? Look what he's done. God also didn't give teachers so the saints could be comfortable. Some churches have missed that as well. If you have a copy of God's word, I encourage you to open it up to see what God did say. We spent a lot of time in Ephesians 4 in this series, and we're going to start there this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's why some of you have very specific gifts. He's equipped you as an apostle, as a prophet, as an evangelist, as a shepherd, or as a teacher. Why? To build up. Building is what God has called you to. See, the word of God, equips, that's what it does. And this word equip, it carries the idea of preparing or fitting or making ready is this idea. It's like a net that's being mended so it can catch fish. It's creating the purpose for which the net originally was for. Or like armor being strapped on before a battle, or like tools being sharpened before the work begins. Equipping assumes that something is next, that something is coming. If you've ever had one of those jobs where you had to sit down and do like the computer training, right? You got to watch the videos that were somehow made from like 80 years ago, no matter when you watch the videos. I don't know why. There must have been a year in like 1920 that everybody got together and made training videos, and nobody's updated them since, as they always seem to be out of date, at least the ones I've watched. And you sit through all this training and you get all this information. Now, you might know a little bit of what the job's going to entail, but you don't know the ins and outs of it. And as you sit there in the training and you get this information, you hopefully are receiving it with the idea of, I need to know this. There's a reason. Something is coming. Something's going to be required of me in my job that this training is speaking into. It's telling me I need to worry about this, and I need to think about this, and I need to know how to do this thing. Well, I didn't even know that was part of my job, but something is going to happen that I need this information for. That's the whole reason you're doing the training, is because equipping assumes that something is coming next. Practice assumes there's going to be a game. I don't know about you, but I'd have been a little frustrated as a kid or even as an adult to practice on a team and find out, well, we're not actually going to play any games. We just really like to practice. Well, no one's going to sign up for that. Especially, you know, you get a brochure in the mail and it says, hey, for only, you know, $2,000, you can sign your kid up for T-ball this year. And we're not going to play any games. We're just going to have a lot of practices. I don't know about you, but I'm not signing my kid up for that. Practice assumes a game. Training assumes that there's a mission. Preparation assumes deployment. Yet, if we're honest, it's possible to spend years around the training of God and never actually step into the work of God. Some of us have sat and we've listened to hundreds or thousands of sermons. We've read our Bible through dozens of times. We've been trained, but we've never stepped into the work. Or We've wet our feet. We've stepped into easy areas that require nothing of us, that don't require sacrifice, that certainly aren't going to use our gifting because we're afraid to find out that we're not as gifted as we thought we were. And so we've existed on the fringe. We'll come to some potlucks and some church events and we'll consume, but oh, the whole actually contributing part, we've never actually stepped into that. Paul keeps going in verse 13 of Ephesians 4. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why these gifts are given. That's why those who are gifted in certain ways build up and for the saints and for the work of the ministry, and they're building up the church so that we can all attain to this unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, maturity doesn't come from sitting longer. Some of us have missed something, and we think that the Bible and the Word of God and Christianity is like some weird marinade. Like if we just sit long enough, we'll be fully mature. Like we all think we're like these fancy bottles of wine. It doesn't work like that. You just sit longer, it doesn't make you more valuable. It doesn't do anything positive to just sit and continually consume. Maturity comes from serving faithfully. Growth happens when what we've learned is put into practice. Just like that analogy, or that when we sat in front of that computer and we watched the videos from 80 years ago, and then you actually go out on the floor, you actually begin to do your job, and you realize, like, man, this is a whole lot more difficult than I thought. Learning how to apply this is a whole lot different than just sitting and learning it. I thought I was an expert until I was out doing the job. I don't know if you're arrogant like me, and you think you know everything at times, and then you finally go out and start doing something, and you realize, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I probably should have paid more attention to the 80-year-old training, because now I don't know what I'm doing, right? You don't know that until you get involved, until you begin to serve, and you get humbled. Which means the series hasn't been about adding information. Yeah, we learned some things, I hope. Hope you learned a little bit about all the gifts, and, you know, we did some information stuff. But what it's been is about preparing us for participation. Not just participation at Antrim, but participation in what God is doing. We have been equipped. The question is, equipped for what? One of the biggest lies that we can subtly believe as Christians is that I can follow Jesus on my own terms. I get to decide what this looks like, because we listen to the culture and the culture says, my body, my choice, my everything, I get to do what I want. And we can bring that attitude into the church. We can bring that attitude to Jesus and say, hey, thanks for the whole salvation thing. Thanks for dying on the cross. That was great and all. I got it from here. You just sit in the back seat. Let me put you on the shelf. Whenever I have a crisis or whenever I've messed everything up, then I'll pull you off the shelf and ask you to fix everything. But otherwise, I got this. I'll tell you when I want to serve. And I'll tell you where I want to serve God. And I'll tell you how I want to serve. And if they don't thank me for it, if they're not celebrating me and patting me on the back, well, I'm not going to do it, Lord. I'm not just going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for me and for my reasons. Paul completely dismantles this idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to flip over there for me or with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say we're like a body. He's not trying to use this as some obscure metaphor that you think, like, oh, going to church and like being a Christian, like it's kind of like you're kind of like a body. No, Paul says we are a body. We are actually a body, he's saying. Which means that when we decide that we're unimportant, when we decide, well, I'm not like Jesus, you know, Christianity plus, and so I don't really need to get too involved because God's not going to do anything through me. And Satan's convinced us that we're not really a crucial part of the body, that we're not really needed like everybody else is needed, because we're not called to be a pastor or a missionary or an elder or anything. When we've convinced ourselves it's okay to detach and sit on the sidelines, isolation isn't just unhealthy, it's unnatural for the believer. Paul presses it even further in verse 18. He says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. What does this mean? Well, this means that God chose where we belong. God chose how we function. And God chose what role we play. He's made that decision. The best thing we can do is simply respond and say, okay, yes, Lord, I'll go where you send me. Tell me what to do. Show me where to go. I've got your Holy Spirit, so I know I've got everything I need. Just send me. Point me in the right direction. Tell me where to go, Lord. As long as you walk with me, I'll go anywhere. No Christian is an afterthought. No one here is a filler, just an extra. No one here is unnecessary in the kingdom. There's not a single believer ever that's existed that God said, well, yeah, I'll save you, but I don't really need you. If you can just like sit up in the stands and just watch everybody else, like that's enough. But here's the tension that we feel. We live in a culture that celebrates independence. It's all about you, and you just need to, you don't need anybody, and you need to get to a place where you don't need anybody or any, you don't need to be in community, you can just do your own thing, just worry about number one. Well, Scripture calls us to interdependence. So much of the New Testament is all about community and how we need one another and how we must serve. And there's many churches that get this confused and they think, no, it should be all about that one guy that's on stage giving the sermons all the time, and we'll put everything behind him and we'll hire the most charismatic person we can find, and they have to be so polished and they have to do it just right, and they put all their hopes and their dreams into this one person, and guess what happens? They're human. So they end up doing something dumb, or they wander off into sin, and everything just falls apart because they built everything on one person. That is not how church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be the saints doing the work of ministry. And yeah, God's going to call some, and some will be staff, and some won't be. Many won't be. But he'll call those to train up others into the work of the ministry. But nobody is an afterthought, a filler, or unnecessary. We're not called to just worry about ourselves and do our own thing. We're all part of the body. And this is that time of year that's really fun, right? When things stop working in our like nasal passages and whatnot, and you get like that one nostril that's clogged, and you begin to dream of the days when you could breathe right again, right? And then you have that one moment where everything clears up for just a second, and you're like, this is what it was like to live in joy and happiness. Well, that's how the church is supposed to function, where even the smallest parts are functioning alongside everything else. And you might seem, you might think, you might have believed Satan that you're unimportant, but the body is negatively affected when you're not serving, when you're not functioning the way God designed you. You might not notice it, but the rest of the body feels it. Disconnection doesn't hurt just us. Verse 21 in 1 Corinthians 12 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's not the way this works. We don't get to decide who's important and who's not. Every part is important in what God is doing. Just because I get to be up front does not make me the most important person at this church. Just because Jason gets to lead worship does not make him more important. There are people serving right now whose names you don't know, who you don't even know what's happening, but they're serving faithfully so that what happens here can happen. There's many who are serving inside the church, outside the church, in our communities. There are people who are dying for the gospel whose names we have will never know. It doesn't make them less important. Disconnection doesn't just hurt us. It hurts the whole body. We don't grow into maturity alone. We don't walk in obedience alone. We don't fulfill God's calling alone. Equipped people must be connected people. But connection still isn't the final step. Connection without purpose becomes shallow. That's why Paul moves us toward unity. If you want to flip over to Romans chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." We've talked about unity before from different perspectives. Unity, what unity does not mean is sameness or conformity. We're not all saying, well, if you want to be unified here at Antrim, this is what you got to wear. This is what you got to look like. This is what you got to drive. This is what your house should look like. This is what your hairstyle should be like. No, that's ridiculous. That's not what unity is. That's conformity. That doesn't equal unity. What unity is direction. It's saying we have this direction. We want to walk toward Jesus. We want to magnify the name of Jesus, and we want to glorify him and his name. That's what's most important. Everything else we can acknowledge. It's just smaller stuff beside that. But we're going to pursue Jesus. We're going to worry about the big things. We're going to let the main things become the main things. We're going to let the smaller things fall to the wayside. That's what unity is. It's acknowledging the direction that we're going. We all have different gifts. We all have different stories. We all have different strengths. That doesn't mean we're not unified, because we have one body. We are one body. We have one mission, and we have one Lord. Then Paul brings it to a very practical place in verses 6 and 8. He says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Not someday. He's not saying whenever the mood hits you, if they're going to celebrate you enough, if they're going to pay you for it, if you feel like it's the perfect, nice environment and comfortable place where you can serve. Not when you feel ready, not when it's convenient. What does he say? He says, "Let us use them." Not, "We'll pray about it and really consider if God is calling you to use those gifts." He's saying, no, if you're gifted, if you have a gift, which he's already covered the fact that every Christian has a gift, he's saying, then let us use them. Let us use them for the glorification of Jesus, for the advancement of the gospel, for building up his saints. Whatever your gift is, he's saying, use that gift. Because one day we'll stand before him and we will give an account for the gifts that he's given us and what we did with them. How did we invest in eternity? We will answer for that one day. Grace was never meant to stop at forgiveness. See, many have received Christ, and they love the grace they received as salvation. They realize, "I don't deserve this, God. You gave this to me. You gave me eternity. I didn't deserve it. That is so wonderful." And then they plop down, and that's where they've been since. And they say, "Well, that's enough grace for me. It was enough to save me, and I'm good with that amount of grace. I don't really want or need any more. I'm good just right here." But grace was meant to inform so much of our life. That was the starting point of what God wanted to do with his grace. See, grace empowers function. When the body is united, the church grows stronger, the mission moves forward, and the world sees something different. We're supposed to be different than the world. Unity is what happens when equipped and connected people move in the same direction. They acknowledge the mission, and they're willing to overlook the petty stuff that Satan gets us so often with. "Can you see what they were wearing? Can you believe they didn't play that song, or they did play that song?" Or, "Oh, it's all the silly stuff." I've seen churches split over the color of carpet when they were recarpeting the sanctuary. The silly stuff that Satan uses to rip churches apart. Unity. It's what happens when equipped and connected people move in the same direction. And that brings us to where the whole series has been moving us toward. Throughout Scripture, when God called his people into work, when he called them for a task or a specific purpose, The community responded with prayer and commissioning. It wasn't symbolic. It wasn't just a ceremony. It was a declaration that God is at work and we are sending you. God is sending you, and we want to help send you off in prayer in this work. If you have a copy of God's word, turn over to Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. Just one example of this in Scripture. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Notice who initiates this moment. Who is it that's speaking here? It's not Paul. It's not Barnabas. It's not some pastor or some preacher. Who's speaking? The Holy Spirit. Wait, does the Holy Spirit speak? Some people told me that he doesn't actually speak audibly. Well, then they need to read their Bible. Because right here it's saying, the Holy Spirit said, very specifically, it's not, well, the Holy Spirit gave me this notion. Well, I had this feeling. No, it says, the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I have called them. He spoke to them, told them what to do. What was the church's, what did they need to do? They just needed to respond. All right, well, if that's what you want, Holy Spirit, then that's what we're gonna do. And we're gonna pray, and we're gonna fast. There's another thing. Fasting? Going without food? I mean my idol? I mean food? Yeah, that's a part of Scripture. It's something that every Christian should have a practice of, is praying and fasting. And they did it all the time in the New Testament. When there were decisions to be made, when right before the work, during the work, they knew that fasting was just a part of the Christian life and process. The Holy Spirit speaks, and because they're fasting and they're praying and they're sensitive to what God is speaking and doing, they're able to respond accordingly. Today's not about hype. It's not about pressure. It's about obedience. See, some of us know exactly where God is calling us to. We haven't said yes yet, but we know exactly where God is calling us to serve. Some of us feel the stirring, but we haven't even named it yet. We don't know what it is. We just know that God is doing something, and we know that we should respond. We're scared, or we don't understand what it is, and so we're not willing to give God our yes until he maps the whole thing out for us. We're demanding clarity before we give our yes. Some of us are already serving, but maybe you need strength or courage or clarity in the midst of that. In just a few moments here, our elder candidates and our prayer team will be up front. The invitation is pretty simple. If God is calling you to step into service, to step back into service, or to step deeper into service, you're gonna be invited to come forward. Not to perform, not to impress. This isn't about you. And when Satan tries to convince you of that, just tell him to be quiet. Because how many times has God been working on somebody and you're ready to walk up front and Satan says, oh, you're just doing this because it's all about you. And we sit back down and we miss what God's doing. This isn't about performing or impressing, but to be prayed over, to be commissioned, and to be sent. See, early in my ministry, I was already a pastor at a church, and I was reading the Word of God, I was reading in Acts, and I was like, man, I've been serving as a pastor for years now. I've never been prayed over. I've never been commissioned into God's work, into what he's doing. So I gathered some guys, and I said, hey, can we do this? Can we fast? Can we pray? Can you commission me? It seems to be like the method of the Old Testament or the New Testament and what they would do with people. So I'm just asking that you would do that. There's something special about that. There's something holy about having trusted people lay hands on you and pray over you. Because we're not equipped to sit together. We're equipped to serve together. So what do we do with this? Not just today, but over the course of the entire series. See, if this series ends with us saying, well, that was really good. That was really helpful. I liked that series. But nothing changes in how we live and how we serve or how we obey, then we've missed the heart of God and what God has been doing among us and through us. Here's the simple truth that we cannot avoid. God has already done his part. He already sent Jesus. Jesus already died on the cross. The offer is there. The grace is plentiful. See, he has equipped us with truth, with gifts in the Holy Spirit. He's connected us into a body where every part matters. And he's called us into unity for the building up of the church and the advancement of the gospel. The question now isn't whether God has spoken. He absolutely has. The question is whether or not we'll respond, whether we're willing to give God our yes. See, we often get fired up about certain lifestyle sins because they're visible, because they're controversial, or because they're really easy to point out in others, like homosexuality or addiction. It's easy to point at those and say, oh, those are sinful people. But Scripture is just as clear that selective obedience is in the same way, not faithfulness, it's disobedience. To wake up every day and choose comfort over calling, to consistently say no to the work that God is inviting us into, to say no to what God is telling us to do, to live in constant disobedience, to remain consumers when God has clearly equipped us to contribute. That's not a neutral decision. We can't sit back and say, well, I'm just choosing not to do anything, and God's going to honor that. It's not the way it works. To live in disobedience is a sin of omission. When God has told us to do something, we say, nah, I don't want to. That's disobedience. A life that resists obedience is not just spiritually harmful, it's a pattern, a direction, a way of living that falls short of what Paul begs his readers in Ephesians to do, which is to walk worthy of the calling to which we have received. And today, it's not about pointing fingers. It's not about us sitting here and saying, well, I know so-and-so, they don't serve, and boy, they need to really step up their game as a Christian. What God's calling us to do is respond. So let's bring this down to where we are. First, we need to recognize our calling. Serving isn't something extra we add to our faith, it's an expression of our faith. We don't all serve in the same way. We don't all have the same gifts, but we're called, all called, to play a part. There's no version of Christianity where what the pinnacle of what God has called us to is to be a spectator. If we belong to Jesus, we belong to his body. And if we belong to his body, we have a role to play. Second, we need to surrender our excuses. For some of us, the Spirit has already been nudging us and moving us and working in us, and we've only responded with hesitation. I don't feel ready. I don't think I have the time for that. I don't know enough yet. I've tried, and I did that before, and I got burned in that. Those feelings are real, but they're not final. God doesn't call the ready. He gifts and equips the called. And he often waits for obedience before he provides the clarity. And third, we need to take a step of faith. Faith almost always requires movement toward him. And Scripture calling is rarely affirmed in isolation. It's confirmed in community. When the church in Acts sensed the Spirit's leading, they didn't just say, well, hey, good luck, guys. We'll pray for you. No, they fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and they prayed over them, and they sent them and commissioned them for the work. Today, we're going to do the same. This isn't about committing to a program or getting people to plug holes at Antrim. It's about submitting to God's direction. It's not about having it all figured out. You might not know why God's calling you to the front to be prayed over. That's okay. It's about saying, here I am, Lord. Send me and use me in whatever way you want. Because we're not equipped to sit together, but to serve together. In just a few moments, we're going to enter a time of prayer. There's no pressure to it. No spotlight. No one's going to pat you on the back or celebrate you. It's just between us and the Lord. But if the Spirit is stirring, let's not ignore it. Because we're not equipped to sit, we're equipped to serve. We're not connected to be comfortable, we're connected to build. We're not united to stay still, we're united to move. And so if you were one of the guys that went through the elder process or you're part of our prayer team, if you can make your way up front now, I'd like all of us to consider whether or not God is calling us to step into this season. As they come, let's all stand together. The worship team is coming up. They're going to be playing some music. And if you sense God calling you to respond, if you sense that God's doing something here, he's speaking to you, calling you into something, I'd encourage you to make your way up. We'll pray hands We'll pray over you. We'll lay hands on you. If you want a prayer of commissioning, we'll do that. Just make sure they understand that's what you're coming up for. If you need healing, they'll pray over you for that. If you just want prayer, they're up here. Now, in the first service, we had a bit of a line happening, and that's okay. You don't have to feel awkward if you come up and there's no one to pray with you right away. Just stand up here, and we'll get to you, we promise. The service ends, and then we still have people that want prayer. That's okay, too. God doesn't work on our calendar or our schedule sometimes, and that's okay. So I want to encourage you, whatever God's speaking to you, even if it's unclear, don't withhold your yes because you're demanding that God make it clear. Sometimes that's all he wants is the yes. Things will reveal themselves as we go. Let this not be the end of a series, but the beginning of obedience for some, or continued obedience for others. Let's be equipped, connected, and united. Let me pray over this moment real quick. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you that you're stirring in people's hearts, that you're moving some who have never fully stepped into the service. They've been equipped, and they've never taken that step. God, I pray that you would work on their heart right now. They'd be willing to step forward, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's awkward, even if they've never come forward before, or Satan's trying to convince them that it's just hype or that they're being selfish to do it. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful and just come on up front. Lord, for others who just need to be prayed over, I pray you'd encourage them forward as well. But God, I pray that we would be a church that commits to being contributors, not just consumers. Would we not be a consumer church where we just sit and spectate from the stands? But I pray that each person here would faithfully step into whatever you're calling them into. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.